We're so glad that you've joined us again this morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. Last couple of times, we've had the opportunity to listen to Steve and Matt McCauley share with us the story about their dad being one of the five missionaries that gave their lives for the cause of Christ in Ecuador back in 1956. But you know, we were remiss by not telling the story. And so, guys, let's just take this broadcast and just tell the story of what God did during that time back in 55 and 56.
God worked in the hearts of these five young men and their families. It was our dad, Ed McCauley, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Peter Fleming, and Raju Daring. And they were working in different areas of Ecuador, and they came together to reach a people group that were at the time known as the Aucas, which was a Quechua word for naked savages. We now know them as the Wadoni, which means the people. Mm-hmm. But they were a group of killers that the anthropologists said were the most vicious people group that they'd ever come across. 6 out of 10 died by spearing. Very rarely did an Auca man live past the age of 30.
Wow.
And these five guys and their families, they were able to make contact and felt like God was speaking to them to go reach them. The Bible says, go ye into all the world. And they felt like if it really means what it says, all the world, that's got to include even the deepest parts of the jungles of Ecuador and
right.
These Huaroni Auca Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were working with the Quechua Indian tribe in a little village, Atahuno, which was neighboring this Huaroni territory.
Okay.
And the Quechuas, and my folks had a great 3 years in Atahuno, and people came to know Christ, and there's still a church there. But my folks could hardly talk to the Quechuas about reaching the Aucas because the Quechuas were terrified of the Aucas.
Right.
The only contact they would ever have is when one of them would go to the river to wash their pots, and they'd be attacked by an Auca.
Wow.
You know, while my folks were there, it happened that 2 Quechua women were found on the beach with spears through them because they had ventured down to the river alone, and the Aucas, an Auca or however many, had attacked them
right.
and killed them.
Right.
So the Aucas had not only no contact with any outside of the white man, the missionaries, the oil company had years before gone in to that territory, and they gave up Shell Oil. There's a village there, Shell Meta, which is where Nate Saint, the pilot, was located. But Shell Oil pulled out because they were losing too many workers to Huaroni.
It's kind of hard to get employees.
Right.
Okay, and the hazard pay is what? Not enough.
Right. And as Matt was saying, my dad and these other guys felt like God wants us to reach these people.
Sure.
But it's a huge problem because not only we don't speak their language, and if we go in there, we don't know where they are. They're nomads. Because of their lifestyle, they're moving all the time because they have killing vendettas between themselves, right?
Right.
I'm mad at your family, so I go to wipe your family out, and the people who are left come after my family. So we not only we can't communicate with them, but we don't know where they are.
Mm.
And so it was a long process, started with prayer years before about what can we do? And Nate Saint, the pilot, every day of the week, he flies to a different place to drop off supplies and bring in mail.
Okay.
And one day a week, he would fly to Atahuno, where we were.
Yeah.
And he and my dad started, when he would fly in, Nate would say, let's go look for our neighbors. Let's go look for your neighbors. And they would get in the plane and fly and look down in the vast Amazon jungle for any signs. That happened for weeks.
And there was 7,700 square miles.
Right.
You know, in this area where these people lived. And there were only 600 people in the entire group of tribes. And so you're going 600 people in 7,700 square miles? Oh, my soul.
Right. And they knew that some of them had to be close to Atahuno because there were these attacks would happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it wasn't like, hey, let's go save the Aucas. It was a process of prayer and planning, and it took a long time. And the prayer had started years before, and the planning was months. And eventually, on one of these trips, they saw a couple houses down there.
Uh-huh.
And so they felt like, you know, God's leading us.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Nate was an expert pilot.
Yeah.
And he had come up with a way to communicate with people on the ground by dropping gifts.
Okay.
And he would fly in a little circle, and my dad would be in the back, and he'd reel out the bucket.
Yeah.
And the bucket would fall to the ground. And when they first did it, the Wadani were terrified. They have no clue. You know, everybody scattered.
Sure.
But they had it designed so that the bucket could hit the ground and release. And then when the plane's gone, they come.
Yeah.
And in the bucket, there's a machete, or maybe there's a pot.
Right.
Or something that
right.
they can
right.
use. So it doesn't take long before they like this. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And pretty soon the plane's coming and they're there.
They're gathering.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the key thing was when they pulled the bucket back up,
mm-hmm.
there were gifts in there.
From the Wadani.
The Wadani are giving them gifts. I have a picture of my dad wearing a headband that the Wadani had mm-hmm. made that he mm-hmm. got. One week they put in a parrot, which was one of their little pet parrots,
and they
put it in there. So they feel like God's leading us. Every time we turn around, something good is happening.
Right.
And the other thing that happened, too, was one of the tribal Indian women had escaped the tribe when her family was being killed, Dayuma, and had come to live outside with a mission family. And so they were able to learn some of the language through her.
That was very key.
And so that was
a key
to them being able to communicate with them certain phrases. We want to be your friends. We come here to help you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that was the next step. So then they found them, they prayed, they learned enough of the language that they felt like they could make a contact. And so they flew in to the beach that Nate was able to land this plane on a beach by the Kurai River,
mm-hmm.
and they were able to call greetings out into the jungle. And then, sure enough, on Friday, January 6th of 1956, they had the first encounter. Three of the tribal members came out, and mm-hmm. they had a very good afternoon with them. They took the man for a ride in an airplane, and they shared their peanut butter sandwiches and lemonade and everything with them.
Wow.
And they had a wonderful contact with them. And when they left, they said, come back again, bring more of your friends.
Wow.
So that was on Friday. And they were in radio communication back home to their different bases with their wives. And nothing happened on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they said, we think this will be the day that they come back.
Okay.
And they did come back. But this time they came back with machetes and spears, lances, and they killed the five men. They ambushed them and killed the five men.
Mm.
There were six warriors and I think three of the women that were there that helped with the setup of it.
Yeah. From what I understand, the men were armed, but yet, and this may be rumor, but I was always told that their attitude was, if we kill any of them, they go to hell. If they kill us, we go to heaven.
Yeah, they made a decision. They took guns in to protect themselves. They could hunt. They could kill animals.
Yeah,
And the Wadani, they knew what a gun was because they'd had encounters with the outside world.
Oh, okay.
So they thought, if they see a gun or if we fire a gun into the air, we could do that.
Okay.
But they had agreed that they would never kill a Wadani.
Right.
Because there would be no hope for any friendly contact.
No, right? Obviously.
Right.
But the story that I didn't know for many, many years was about the three that came, two women and a guy. And at the end of that day, the guy and the single woman started back, but the older woman stayed there and wanted to continue to spend some time together with the missionaries. And the fact that the man and the young lady were by themselves, unchaperoned, that's what caused the big issue with the tribesmen.
Yes, and that one man, it turns out he was not a good guy. And so he told a story to the rest of the tribe that he had to be alone with this woman because these foreigners, these outsiders, had tried to kill him. And it stirred them up, and whether or not they completely believed him or not, given their natural fear temerity with the outsiders, they
right.
decided, let's not take any chances.
They thought they were being attacked by these five men and taken advantage of, and so we've got to go in and get rid of them. And my understanding was, even when they saw the other woman who had been there with him the whole day, and she tried to tell him a different story, it wasn't believed.
Right. It was like they were stirred up into a killing
right.
frenzy.
Right.
And one of them said, let's not kill each other. You know, we're mad at each other, but let's kill the outsiders, the foreigners. Because they had such a fear of them and a hatred of them that that was the natural. And that was what they did. That's how, that was the life that they lived. That was their culture. For hundreds of years, that's what they did, was they killed.
And aren't we glad that there is the rest of the story?
That would be a pretty bad story if that was the end of it.
So tell us the rest of the story.
Well, first of all, just the end of that, the guy who they flew around in the plane, Dan Kiwi, he was already married.
Right.
And he had already killed a wife that he had been unhappy with.
Oh.
And so this girl, Gimadi, who she comes out because she's wondering if these Americans know anything about her sister, the girl who's left years before.
Okay.
And Nankiwi's with her, and Nankiwi wants to marry her, but Gimadi's brother, he wants nothing to do with it.
Okay.
And so when they come back, Nampa, he's ready to kill Nankiwi right there.
Right, right.
And Nankiwi makes up the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens.
Okay.
As it turns out, Nankiwi only lived another few months because they got mad at him again.
Uh-huh.
And they wound up spearing him and killing him.
Okay.
But the good part of the story is that when the men were killed, that wasn't the end.
Right.
That was not the end. That was really just the beginning. And it didn't happen overnight.
Right.
But it was a couple years. And one of the wives came back to the States, Olive Fleming. She had no children, and she wasn't very healthy. She came back. The other four all stayed.
Okay.
Two of them stayed in the jungle, Elizabeth Elliot and Barbara Udarian. My mom went back and ran a home for missionary kids when they got to be school age.
Right.
And the pilot's wife, Marge Saint, she also came to the city and went to work at HCJB, the Christian radio station,
right,
and ran a guest house there. But it was another 2 years before a couple other Wadani women came out.
Okay.
And Elizabeth was there. And at that point, they saw Dayuma. They found that Dayuma was still alive.
Okay.
And they told Dayuma, your father was killed, but your mother is still alive.
Oh, I see.
And Dayuma says, I need to go back
and
tell my family the good news.
All right, we'll take a break right there. I need to go back and tell the good news. Dayuma had a burden now for the cause of Christ. And we'll have to continue that story the next time. Share this story with folks and invite them to listen to the broadcast in a couple of days. As you hear, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. And what a blessed story it is. And you know, the story of Jesus is always a blessed story. So wherever you have the opportunity today to share that blessed story, be sure to do it. Because whether it's the jungles of Ecuador or it's the streets of Milwaukee, it's still the sweet story of God's love. Share it wherever you go. God bless you.